You know, one of the things that's kind of interesting is that if you get good at being non-judgmental with yourself, you're going to find that that's an excellent education in being loving and compassionate. If you're loving and compassionate to yourself, it becomes an easy thing to extend that to others, because you'll literally develop the language of love, of forgiveness, of gentleness and kindness, and you'll be learning to apply that language to yourself. You also get that education in gentleness, love, peace, etc., by being non-judgmental towards others. So everything from traffic incidents to delays in the grocery store line, if I'm patient and kind in my internal dialogue with myself about these events, if my heart is kind and patient towards these individuals when I'm being cut off, when I'm in the grocery store line, it will be easy then to bring those skills, those habits, those dispositions of heart and mind, emotion and behavior to your everyday life, to the people that you interact with at work, to your family, to your loved ones, and to yourself. You know, there's an enormous benefit to having a mindfulness, to be aware of what you're thinking, how you're thinking, to actually live with determination, not leaving it to chance that you're going to be loving, kind, understanding, but making a conscious and concerted decision on a regular basis to put your beliefs into practice, to live in a more loving, kind, forgiving, compassionate way towards yourself and others. And that is a life-transforming phenomenon, that if I stop railing against myself and against others, and I stop judging my life as being inferior or inadequate, I become at one with my life if I'm being loving. And the other way of approaching it is a form of hate. If I devalue my life, I'm devaluing myself. If I devalue my life, I'm attaching some degree of hatred towards my life. And if I choose to live in a loving way and to value and appreciate my life, the results will be very quick, and you'll be able to detect a qualitatively superior experience that you begin to have by being mindful of how you're thinking. One way to do that would be to have almost like a checklist where you identify certain principles, certain ideals, certain growth opportunities that you're working on in the beginning of the day, and you make a conscious effort to fulfill those principles in your life, to live according to those principles. We don't want to think that that stuff is just going to happen. What happens by default, or what happens without conscious effort, is quite often not the best thing that can happen. It's very easy to get angry. It's very easy to get discouraged. It's hard to be resilient, to be mindful and kind and in control of oneself, and to keep one's emotional dispositions and mental attitudes in a healthy frame of reference. That's not an easy thing to do, and it's not something that's going to happen by chance. It's something that's going to happen because of one's dedication to such things, that the character that emerges, the fine qualities of character that emerge, are deserving of credit because they don't emerge on their own. They don't just randomly occur. They occur because of one's dedication to these things and to one's consistent efforts to cultivate these things in their lives, etc. So the simple, humble checklist has been used in aviation by pilots to guarantee that they are going through the checks of the necessary instruments that are going to guarantee a safe flight, They don't leave it to chance that they check these things. In a similar way, when you discover that you have certain weaknesses or vulnerabilities, you want to make a checklist that you consult on a daily basis so that you bring to mind the way you want to be and not leave it the chance that it's going to just happen. If you bring it to mind and are conscious of it, you're going to have a much better chance of cultivating those characteristics in your day-to-day habit repertoire. If you don't know what it is you're trying to cultivate, or you don't call it to mind, there's a very good chance that you won't call it to mind. So a lot of people will get all pumped up about change after a crisis or something like that. And after they're doing well for a while, they stop really trying. And they stop paying attention maybe to what they're doing or paying attention to what they're thinking. So the information you've been learning has been bringing home to you the reality of how much choice and freedom you have if you choose to use it. You have to choose to use it, but you're much more aware now that you have those abilities to choose not to let certain things get to you or to choose how you want to deal with something. Whereas before, we tended to think, you know, it's just how it is. That's what happened. That's why I feel this way. So there's a lot of opportunities that open up to the individual when you have an accurate understanding of your human nature and the role that thinking plays in the construction of your experience. You want to be aware that you're going to find what you're looking for. So if you're looking for opportunities to grow, you'll find them. Your mind is kind of like an answer-retrieving machine. You come up with a question, and your mind instantly begins to look for answers to that question. So you really want to be aware of the questions that you ask. And often we have like habits of thinking, habits of asking questions that profoundly influence the quality of our lives. Sometimes those habits are good habits. Sometimes they're habits that don't serve us well. So, for example, if I ask myself, what's wrong with me? I'm going to proceed to come up with a whole list of things that are wrong with me. I don't know how well that's going to help me. If I'm asking myself, what's the best way to handle something? What ways might I be able to improve things? Then my mind will be focusing on answering those questions. If I'm asking myself why I'm so unhappy, I might begin to make a list of things that I'm not happy about. As long as I'm asking that question, I might keep doing that. I might even make stuff up. I might make up problems with myself that aren't legitimate. But fundamentally, what's happening is that I'm asking a question and I'm beginning to come up with answers. So you want to be mindful of those questions so you can ask things like, what ways can I support myself as I'm dealing with something? Let me think of a few ways that I can encourage myself. What are some of the things that I'm pleased with in my life? What are the things that I'm appreciative of? What do I have to be thankful for? How can I love those in my life better? How can I use my life more fully or live my life more fully? These questions will bring fruitful answers. Those are the kind of questions that we want to ask. We want our minds to be looking for the good in all of its variety. I can't think of too many things at one time. So what I spend my time thinking about is how I spend life. Because I don't get that time back. So where do I want to spend it? Where do I want to invest the moments, the seconds, the minutes, the hours of my life? I don't get to live twice. People of faith often have the belief or understanding that what they do here in this life literally echoes into eternity. And we have a profound role to play in filling the space that we've been given in our own life as well as in the life of others. How well are we doing? How can we improve? These questions will bear fruit that you can use to enhance life, to respect it more,